you guys. It's so cold tonight. I'm so glad y'all are here.
Yeah, thank you for finally inviting us to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time coming, right?
Yeah.
What's been going on with y'all? Y'all ready for Halloween?
Yeah. Yeah, we're ready.
We got the candy ready. We got our costumes ready.
Yeah. Lame. Just kidding. What are y'all going to be?
I don't know. I'm thinking Freddy Krueger.
Classic. Nice. Classic.
I'm just going to be a slice of pizza.
I think I'll be Ghostface.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll dress up this year. I've kind of been struggling with trying to figure out what I want to be, you know? Something that really speaks to me, but...
Grimace.
You know, he's made a return, so that might be, like, an iconic look, for sure.
A murderous return.
Yeah.
He's made a murderous return.
Yep, the purple grimace.
That might be...
classic slasher. Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Myers.
I definitely think Michael Myers is where it's at. Mm-hmm. He's kind of big and muscular and...
Oh. We're going there?
Yeah. I mean, why not, right? Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Y'all are waiting for marriage, right?
No? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because last we heard, you were waiting for marriage.
Didn't you have, like, the Nick Jonas promise rings or whatever? Or did you take them off?
You know, we're just traditional. We're just trying to, you know.
Real traditional marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to save it. You don't want to give away your samples. You're going to be Costco all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, are you ready for some stories?
Oh, yes. Every year we like to each tell a spooky story. It's kind of like, you know, tradition.
Because what else do you do in Oklahoma during the holidays? You know, all this Christian babble and...
There's not much else to do out here.
No.
Yeah, whatever happened to your other friends that you brought last year?
No, they just didn't come back this year.
You know, adult friendships.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
People have lives, they get busy, they disappear, you never hear from them again, you know.
Yeah, they stop answering their phone, you know, and then it's like they're missing.
I hate when that happens.
Just deactivate them on Facebook or whatever, right?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Whatever. Anyways, don't worry about them.
So, do y'all have any spooky stories cooked up for us?
Well, since you're the host, why don't you go first?
I think maybe you should go first.
So, my story... it's called A Package Marked Return to Sender. My neighbor is one of those annoying wannabe YouTube personalities. Over the years, I've seen him cough out cinnamon, lay flat on the hood of his car as it slowly creeps down the driveway, and douse himself in lukewarm water, all the while screaming, "Epic win, epic fail, or fuck, epic maintenance of the status quo, for all I know." It can get tiring to watch him go about his shenanigans in the pursuit of viral fame. So when he knocked on my door the other day, I told him he was going to go away for a few weeks and asked that I get his mail. Honestly, it was a relief. I can't explain the peace of mind I had knowing I didn't have to brace myself for any of his stupidity for a while. I was always afraid of his stunts would wind up bleeding all over into my life. Things were pretty much normal for the first couple of days. He received a few bills, a lot of spam, and what I could only assume was a birthday card. Then one evening, I got home to find a cardboard box waiting on his front porch. In big red letters was written, "Return to Sender." I'm no small fry, but I admit I had trouble lifting the box on my own. It was really freaking heavy. Lugging it across the road to my house was even harder, and I quickly realized there was no way I was going to drag it up the stairs and through my front door. I decided to leave his package in my garage. It wasn't like I kept my car in there. The garage door was a piece of shit that refused to open without a good tug and a whack. It was less trouble just leaving the car in the driveway than it was to fight with the garage door every morning and night. In hindsight, I should have set the package down while I struggled to open the tricky door. But you know how it is when you've got a good grip on something. No point in setting it down if you don't have to. It was as I kicked the door for the third time that I lost my grip on the package and it fell to the ground. I heard a light crack inside. Shit, I cursed. I hadn't broken anything important, but I figured I just wouldn't tell my neighbor about it and let him assume the break happened en route. Hands free, I finally managed to get the garage door unstuck. and boy did it screech in protest as it rolled up over me. I dragged the box the rest of the way, setting it in the corner for whenever my neighbor would come back to claim it, and then I forgot all about it until a few days passed, that is. I'm not entirely sure how long it took for the smell to waft in from the crack under the garage to house door, but it came in slow progression. It was a sickly sweet odor similar to a skunk, and for the first few days after I smelled it, I genuinely assumed that's exactly what it was, roadkill that had left its mark in my house. It was only when I realized the scent was growing more intense instead of fading that I went looking for a source. That's when I opened the garage door, and that's when the odor knocked me back, holding my nose. The culprit wasn't hard to identify. The only change in my garage was the box in the corner. I remember thinking it must have been one of those meat of the month subscription boxes. The meat must have gone rancid for being left out in the fridge for so long. How much meat could have been there for the box to have been so large and heavy? An entire freaking cow? I covered my nose as I approached the box. A pair of scissors in my hand, I probably wouldn't need them to open it as it had become soggy enough at the bottom to poke through with a finger, but I wasn't about to poke my finger into spoiled meat juices. That soggy bottom was the reason I had to open the box in the first place. If I tried to drag it out whole, everything would spill into the floor. I was going to have to dump the pieces of meat one garbage bag at a time and take them down to the dumpster, a process I wasn't looking forward to. My scissors tore through the tape along the top of the cardboard box. I thought the smell couldn't get any worse, but as I flipped the flaps open, I discovered a whole new gamut of stink. It was like opening a burning oven, but instead of a heat wave, it was met with waves of piss, sweat, shit, and putrefaction. It was so bad that I staggered back and had to force down the puke, beginning to guzzle out of me. I didn't think I could have handled that scent, mingling with the horrors of coming out of the box. I'm not ashamed to admit I ran out the door for the breath of fresh air, but in the short time I'd spent in the garage, the smell had become so ingrained in the fabric of my clothes that it clung to me like a shadow. Nothing I tried could keep the smell out of my nostrils. Not air fresheners, not a face mask, not three showers and a change of clothes. Every second that box lay open in my garage was another second the smell was allowed to a foothold into my home. I had to bite the bullet. I returned to the garage, the flaps of the box still open, as though inviting me to look. I was prepared, a clothespin pinning my nostrils shut, a garbage bag in one hand, the strongest cleaner I could find in the other, and long rubber gloves to keep my skin from having to touch what was inside. But as it turned out, I needed none of those things. I wouldn't have to touch or clean the contents of that box. I would only have to suffer the nightmares every night. You see, there was meat in that box, but it didn't come from a cow or a pig. No, it was worse than that. It was my neighbor. Dead. Still in one piece, but dead. I called the cops, and naturally they took me in for interrogation. It's kind of hard not to suspect the man with a corpse in his garage, after all. Thankfully, they soon realized I wasn't involved. My DNA might have been all over that box. The smell might have left a mark throughout my house, but there was one piece of irrefutable evidence in my neighbor's own hands that proved my innocence. A vlogging camera. They showed me the footage only once. I'm not sure if they were allowed to, or if they felt so bad for me they figured it couldn't hurt. Either way, I saw it. My neighbor was sitting in the box outside of a shipping facility, laughing as he told the world he was going to mail himself across state lines. He brought pee bottles, food, a pillow, and a few flashlights. His friend, a guy I'd seen at his place several times to help him with his stunts, closed the lid and presumably dropped him off for shipment. Throughout the next couple of hours, or days, I'm honestly not sure, my neighbor recorded a few more short clips about his progress. I think I'm in a truck now, I feel it moving. Must be in a warehouse. Pretty warm in here. Still got plenty of food, that kind of stuff. And then on the last entry, the box toppled over. He broke his neck, and that was it. The camera recorded until either the memory card got full or the battery died. But there's one thing I didn't tell the police after they showed me the video. One thing I heard in the footage that will haunt me to the day I die. Just after the tumble that broke his neck, I heard the familiar screeching sound of my garage.
Okay. Well, that sets the tone real well. Do you have one?
I do have a story that I would like to share. My story is called The Campground Killer.
Ooh. Didn't that really happen here? it's happened several times. Several campgrounds. Yeah. There's not much to do out here, like I said, you know.
Except murder.
Except murder.
Camp kids.
Well, all these people go to these stupid, like, camp houses.
All these people come out to cabins and end up getting murdered. It's just crazy.
Yeah, like, it's the middle of Oklahoma. Like, why would you do that?
So, the campground killer. There was a young boy named Mac Tolliver. He lived with his mother and father in an old mansion on the edge of the forest. The family was wealthy, and they owned a lot of land. However, as time went by, the family fell on hard times, and the parents were forced to sell their land to some property developers. The young boy loved playing in the forest, and he didn't want his parents to sell the land. But when the deal went through, the young boy was furious with his parents, and he went out of his mind. One dark night, he crept into his parents' bedroom and murdered them with a knife. Their bodies were found by the police a few days later. They were hanging from the ceiling with their throats slit from ear to ear. On the wall, there was a message written in their blood. It read, "You shouldn't have sold the land." It was signed, Mac Tolliver. The boy was never seen or heard from again. A few years later, the developers turned the land into a summer camp. The mansion where the Tolliver family had lived was still standing, but over the years it had become dilapidated and was now abandoned. The first summer the camp opened, two of the campers went missing. The camp counselors organized two search parties to go out into the woods and search for them. Eventually, the missing campers were found, but it was a horrifying scene. They were hanging by their necks from the branches of a tree, and their throats had been sliced open. There was a wooden board nailed to a tree above them with a message written on it in their blood. It said, "Stay off my land, no trespassing," and it was signed, Mac Tolliver. The next summer, the camp was still open. Around the campfire, the camp counselors told the story of Mac Tolliver and how he had murdered his family. All of the kids were terrified. There was one kid that summer who everyone liked to pick on. He was a quiet, shy kid named Cameron, and the other kids always made him feel like the butt of their jokes. The camp counselors decided to play a prank on the kids. After telling the story of what happened all those years ago in that house, they made an announcement. That night, they would take the campers one by one and make them walk through the old mansion. Two of the counselors, named Dave and Steve, were going to take the campers to the house. Cameron said he was too scared, but they told him he had to go. He was the first one picked. Steve took Cameron with him, and they walked off towards the mansion. Everybody else stayed by the campfire and waited their turn. They waited and waited, but Steve and Cameron never came back. After an hour of waiting, they began to get impatient. Dave decided to take all the other campers with him and check out what was going on. When they arrived at the old mansion, they didn't see Steve or Cameron anywhere. The place was eerily silent. Just then, they heard a noise. Thump. Thump, thump. It was coming from upstairs. Dave told the kids that he was going to go upstairs to investigate. He told them to stay behind, but they insisted on going with him. They went upstairs together in single file. When they reached the second floor, the noise grew louder. Thump, thump. It seemed to be coming from the room at the end of the hallway. That was the bedroom where Mac Tolliver had murdered his parents. They walked cautiously down the hallway, and when they came to the bedroom door, they could hear another noise. Drip, drip, drip. Dave reached out, turned the knob, and slowly opened the door. When it swung open and they saw what was in the room, everyone screamed in horror. Steve was hanging by the neck from a rope. His face was purple, his eyes were bulging out of his head, and his tongue was thrust out of his mouth. His lifeless body was swaying back and forth, and his shoes were hitting the wall. Thump, thump, thump. His throat had been cut from ear to ear, and his blood was dripping down on the floor. Drip, 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 On the wall behind them, sprawled in blood, was a message. It read, "I'm back," and it was signed, Cam Revelot. The name reflected in a mirror across the room, revealing the name Mac Tolliver.
Wow. That wasn't that scary. I've got a scarier one.
Oh, really?
Okay, I guess if you've got better.
You're not scared of camp stories and murders and...
Yeah, we love slashers.
Yeah, I love them too.
Well, let's hear
it. I idolize them.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Oh, I'm
sure,
ready.
I guess, since yours is so scary.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm a nurse and I currently work nights. It's a total drag, but I'm hopeful I can go to day soon since some coworkers are planning retirements. Anyway, I was working one night when just after 3 a.m. my son's monitor alerted me to a sound and movement. No big deal at all. He probably coughed loudly or sneezed or something. He's 3 now, so he generally sleeps all night. I bring it up on my phone and I see him and my wife sitting on the bed. Again, no big deal. He might have cried out or gotten scared or something. I was about to close the app when I noticed they were acting strange, almost creepy. And when I say almost creepy, I mean creepy as balls. They were sitting on the bed together, both of them just staring up at the camera with blank, emotionless stares. The night vision is black and white, so they had white, eerie-looking eyes. They didn't move at all aside from their visible breathing. They just sat there staring at the camera. I close the app and give my wife a call to make sure everything's okay. I never get to call home on lunch, so in a way this is kind of nice to get to talk to my family while at work. It rings a couple times before she answers with a very groggy, "Hello?" It was like she was dead asleep when I called and she looked wide awake when on camera. "Hey, you guys okay?" "Huh? Yeah. Buddy, my son's nickname, came in like 15 minutes ago. Seemed scared, so I said he could sleep with me." "I'm confused. Here, since I saw them in the room a minute ago, literally 60 seconds had passed since I closed the app and made the call. Wait, so are you guys in bed?" "Yeah, I fell back asleep right away. Everything okay?" "Everyone kept waking me up. She's kind of annoyed. Hang on a sec." I put her on speaker and bring up the app, hoping I don't see it. When the app loads, I get that pang of intense nervousness in my stomach that I haven't had in a long time. Since I was a kid in school and realized while I was eating breakfast, a paper or something was due that day and I hadn't done it. My heart leaps into my throat. My wife and son were sitting on his bed looking up at the camera, same emotionless stares. "Hello? You guys are in bed, right?" "Yeah, we're trying to sleep." "Well, I'm looking at the camera and I see you two sitting in bed." "Huh?" "No, we're in our bed." I know that's what you mean, but I'm looking at his bed and you two were in there." "Hang on," she says. She's quiet for a sec while she brings up the camera on her phone. I hear this guttural, terrified gasp, like she had sucked all the air in the room into her lungs, filling them to capacity. I don't hear this kind of gasp from my wife often. Usually only when she's afraid, like during a jump scare in a movie, or one time when we turned back on our son for literally a second, and he was down by the mailbox, inches from the road. I hear rustling of sheets, and the line goes dead. Of course, now I'm absolutely terrified myself, so I immediately call back. It goes to voicemail, so I call again. I call again and again with no answer. Finally, after about 4 minutes, she calls me. "I tell you that 4 minutes felt like 40 years. "Hey, what's happening?" I ask. She's absolutely hysterical and crying. I can't understand a word she's saying. "Stop. Slow down for a second," I say. She slows down enough to explain they are in the car and driving to her parents. She looked at the camera, and when she saw what was on it, she got up and grabbed our son and rushed downstairs and out the door. Didn't even close the garage. "Don't worry about it," I said. "I'll drive by when I get off and close it. We live in a generally safe neighborhood, so I'm not too concerned the door is open." You will not go in there," she says. "Hell no," I return. "Why are we on the camera?" she asked. "Is it a recording?" "I don't know," I return. "I'm going to keep watching it and see if there's anything I can tell. Do our code words with Buddy. We have code words because we're nerds. We've seen too many pod people and imposter movies, so we decided a long time ago to make code words with each other to be able to tell if one of us was an imposter. We have a couple code words. We also have a 3-sentence story we recite together, each saying a different part alternatively of each other. I hear her on the phone saying the things we taught our son. He giggles as he says them. He does this every time we practice, since he thinks they're a joke and doesn't have any idea of the real meaning. We're both convinced he's our son. My wife then says our part, and I'm convinced she's her.
We made up these words as a complete joke to ourselves. I never once in my life imagined we'd actually need them. It's unreal. She got to her parents safely, and it was hard to hang up. I told her we'll figure it out in the morning, hopefully just a glitch. She said she didn't think it was a glitch. When she was running out, she had to run by her son's room, and the door was open. There's a little flashlight on the back of the camera that indicates it's connected to the internet. It gives off just enough light that when she ran by, she thought she saw out of the corner of her eye a shadowy outline of what could have been an adult sitting on the son's bed. It sends chills down my spine to think about it. Knowing they were safe and out of the house is the only thing that kept me at work that night. It was a long 4 hours, but I kept checking the camera every chance I got. Sure enough, they were still sitting on the bed, staring up at the camera with emotionless gazes. I studied them to see if I could see any pattern from their breathing to their blinking. Their breathing was steady and looked normal. It was their blinking that would tell me this was just some kind of bizarre time loop freak accident or not. I intently stare at the phone and count the seconds between each blink, telling myself if this is a loop, then their blinks should be even and occur at each time, at the same time each time. There was no pattern to their blinking. It was erratic and random, just as a person blinking should be. The passing hours would finally seal the deal that this was not a weird loop video of some kind. My son's window is visible on the camera, and I can see on her camera that it is getting lighter outside the room. His curtains keep out just enough light to truly prevent the camera from exiting night vision, but lets it in just enough to be able to tell the sun is rising. I try to figure out what the hell I'm going to do before I leave work. Calling the police comes to mind, but I talk myself out of it. First of all, what am I supposed to say? Someone's in my house that looks like my wife but isn't, worse yet. And if they are entities of some kind and the police go over and it kills them or something? I decided to tell my coworkers about it. He's a firm believer in the paranormal and might have a suggestion. I show him the video and tell him the story. His initial response of, "That's creepy as fuck," doesn't help much. But he says he wants to go over and check it out. He says we both should see if not my wife will try and act like my wife. I tell him absolutely not, and he says we should go at least to the house even if we don't go in. I agree on that since I wanted to close the garage door. We go to my house and walked around the perimeter first. Not sure what we wanted to accomplish by that, but it felt like something we should do. The curtains were all drawn since nobody was there to open them in the morning, so we couldn't see anything. I went to close the garage and suddenly had this overwhelming urge to go inside and investigate. It was like I just had to know what was going on, so I went in. We walked through the kitchen towards the foyer where the stairs are. It's quiet in our house right now. We could hear a feather drop. Forget the pin. We stop at the bottom of the stairs and wait a few seconds. I look at the camera again and they're still sitting there. I've never been so scared in my life. My coworker puts his foot on the first step and I suddenly say, "Stop," loudly. "Forget this, we're out of here," I tell him. "Come on." I start making my way back to the kitchen. We hear a loud creak in the floor from upstairs. It's my son's room. He has a very loud creaky floorboard right in the middle of the floor. That's almost impossible not to step on. My wife and I are still deciding if we want to fix it because it'll alert us if he's ever up to no good when he gets older trying to sneak out or something. "Come on, come on," I yell as I motion for him to move his ass. We're out of the house in about 2 seconds. Out the street, I check my phone. Now only not my son was sitting in the bed. Same blank stare, not my wife was gone. "Holy shit," my coworker says. "That was stupid as fuck of us. Do not tell my wife we went inside. She would be so ungodly mad if she found out what we just did." I use my garage door opener and my car door to close the door. Before we leave, I look at the camera again. Not my wife is back on the bed with not my son, both staring blankly up at the camera, blinking every few seconds. And that was my story.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, that was scary.
What was the ending of your story?
To be continued, to be discussed.
No. I was like, so where is this going?
It's up to the reader.
Are you the wife?
Let me check.
Are you blinking? What's the code word? We have a code word.
Well, it's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
No one said the code word was a secret.
It was a good story.
Thank you.
I'll give you credit for that one. No one died or got slashed. You know, those are the kind that I like. But, you know, I guess paranormal entities are fun,
yeah,
too.
Always.
Yeah. Well, let's see what I have
for
y'all
today. Yeah,
absolutely. I should look for a good one. Okay, let's see. Where is that one I found? So this one is called The Forest Silent Observer. Guess what? We're in a forest, right? So it takes place here in this backyard.
Ooh, spooky.
In the heart of the dense and ancient Blackwood Forest, Oklahoma, nestled away from the prying eyes of civilization, there existed an entity that defied exploration and explanation, an abhorrent cryptid known as the Forest Silent Observer. The Blackwood Forest had long been a source of eerie legends and spine-chilling tales. It was a place where the trees seemed to whisper to each other and the shadows danced with a malevolent intent. Few dared to venture into its depths, and those who did not return. Haunted eyes, their trails incomprehensive and fragmented. One moonless night, three adventurous friends, Lisa, Ben, and Sarah, decided to test the limits of their courage and venture into the foreboding forest. Armed with nothing but flashlights and nerves of steel, they embarked on their ill-fated journey. As they ventured deeper into the forest, the oppressive silence closed in around them.
Did you hear that?
What?
I thought I heard something. Y'all heard that, right?
I didn't hear that.
Maybe.
It was probably your stomach. You were like...
No, I think I heard something over there. I'm gonna go check it out.
Good luck. I can finish my story, right?
Yeah.
Anyways.
You don't want to wait for him?
Why? Like, he'll be fine.
Okay.
You're fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You seem concerned. Do you want to go with him?
I mean, we can. One of us can go with him.
It's y'all's call.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
So, anyways, as they ventured deeper into the forest, the oppressive silence closed in around them. The air grew frigid, and the underbrush seemed to twist and contort in unnatural ways. Unease settled into their hearts, but they pressed on. Hours passed in eerie silence until a low, guttural growl pierced their stillness.
Fuck, why the fuck did I say I would go look for him?
Taylor?
What the fuck is that?
Taylor, are you okay?
What is that? No, what the fuck?
Hey, are you back there?
What the fuck is that?
Hey, Taylor? Taylor?
Their flashlights swung wildly, searching for the source, but the forest offered no answers. It was then that they heard the whispers, a cacophony of voices, both human and inhuman, that emanated from the shadows. Suddenly, the forest seemed alive with movement. Trees shifted and groaned, as if reaching out to ensure the intruders. The trio quickened their pace, their terror building with each step, but the path ahead seemed to stretch endlessly, trapping them in this living nightmare. As they rounded a bend, their flashlights revealed a grotesque figure lurking in the shadows. It was tall and emaciated, with long, spiny limbs that seemed to stretch on forever. Its eyes, two pools of infinite darkness, fixated on their intruders. The air grew frigid and their breaths turned to mist as dread consumed them. The Forest Silent Observer, as they would later come to call it, made no sound, but its presence exuded malevolence. Lisa, Ben, and Sarah were paralyzed with fear, unable to tear their eyes away from the creature. Then with an unearthly controlled movement, the cryptid surged forward, its elongated arms reaching out to grasp them. They screamed and fled, but the forest seemed to conspire against their escape. Its labyrinth paths leading them deeper into its web of horror. Desperation gnawed at them as they realized there was no way out. The creature drew nearer, its darkness threatening to consume them entirely. Just as hope dwindled to nothing, a blinding light pierced the night. The headlights of a forest ranger's vehicles, the cryptid let out an agonized shriek and returned into the shadows, vanishing as mysteriously as it had appeared. The ranger found the trio huddled together, trembling and haunted. They were rescued from the clutches of the forest and the cryptid, but the horror of that night would forever linger in their nightmares. To this day, the Blackwood Forest remains a place of dread and whispers. The Forest Silent Observer is a legend that haunts the dreams of those who dare to explore its enigmatic depths. A chilling reminder that some horrors are best left undisturbed.
Wow. They missed it. They left when it was getting good.
They're probably being attacked by the Silent Observer.
They've been gone for a while.
Guys? Hello? Should we go see what's going on?
Yeah, we should go see what it was. That story kind of creeped me out.
And I'm a little scared. And it's super chilly. Okay.
Hold.
They better not be pulling a prank on us.
What am I making out? You guys better not be doing something dirty back there.
Are you keeping up?
Yes, but you're walking so fast.
What the?
Alright, I think I got him.
Okay.
You ready for the sacrifice?
Yes, I'll sacrifice it.
Another year, another sacrifice.
I can't wait for next Halloween.
Looks like we'll have to start making some new friends.
Hopefully these will be virgins.